Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Excuse the Cake Radio, here live on blogtalkradio.com/YKR Online. It's Yakuza Kick Radio here on Sunday, August 15th, 2010. I am one of your co-hosts, Eric Williams, along with the man in charge, Mr. Jay Cap Morris. Jay, what's going on?
Chilling, man. How you doing?
All right. I'm doing all right, except for fucking up the intro, not putting the right song in. I thought I had it, and I hear it, and I go,
switch it over. It worked out. You know, it's all good, man. Yeah, we got a bunch of shit to talk about.
I'm not getting fired, all right? Am I?
Nah. You're doing work, unpaid probation. You know what I mean?
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, before we get into anything, you know, definitely got to get out of the way. You know, we lost another wrestler. Eric got something to say about that, too. You know, just, I mean, rest in peace, Lance Cade. I mean, that's terrible, man. It's far too young.
Well, it's another death in the business, and, you know what I'm saying, I send the condolences, you know, here we at Yakuza Kick Radio send our condolences to the family of Lance Cade, and, you know, it's always tough to lose a family member, and the wrestling business, you know, losing another guy. And I mean, this shit has got to stop soon. You know what I mean? I mean, too
yeah.
many. I mean, we've had too much, and I don't want to roll down the list because I'll take, you know, we don't want to, you know, start off on a sad note. We want to kick it off because well, you got some shit up your sleeve tonight, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I always got shit to talk about, man. I got a big ass mouth, so it's all good.
You know what the crazy thing is? Like, somebody's got to hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, apparently. Five weeks
people
in
love
now.
It, you know what I mean?
Nobody's
people
coming
are J-Cap Morris marks. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine that's even a possible term, but hey, man, you know, whatever it is, man. If I'm on here, I'm going to just keep doing it, so. You know, I went to Tangleweb last night. It was a great show. It was a lot of fun. I think I'm just starting to come out of this hangover and shit I got. So, there's a lot of shit we could talk about that show. We're going to get into a little bit of the Hardcore Justice fiasco and, you know, what DNA is doing. Just, you know, everything that's been going on that we've been watching and shit. So, I don't know where you want to start out, Eric.
Well, it's up to you. You're the co-host. I mean, yeah, excuse me. You're the man in charge. We're not, you know. This is your show. You make the call. What do you want to do? I'm putting you on the spot. See, now we're getting a little antsy. The catamaniacs are looking for you to make a decision. You know, Hulk Hogan has the Hulkamaniacs, and you have the catamaniacs. That kind of sounds cheesy, but whatever. Yeah,
it does. Couldn't be more inaccurate, but that's cool, man.
Great way to bust my bubble. Great way to bust the bubble.
Yeah, I know, right?
I get it. Trying to add comedy, and you're just busting the bubble.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Just overhyped.
Go figure, you 49ers fans. Well, we have some Giant fans in the chat room, so they can all eat a dick.
Definitely ramping up for football soon, man. I'm ready for football this year, man. I think we're actually gonna have some bit of a chance out there in San Francisco. So I hope, man. It's been a while. We've been out of it. Hopefully, we just make some kind of run. You know, they end up in the playoffs or something. Because the Cardinals are done now that they ain't got no Kurt Warner. So, you know, we're back in the mix, at least in our division. So we'll see where that goes. You know, like I said, Tango Web, I mean, it was a good show. I mean, they started off the show. They had, who was it? Two new guys that haven't been in CZW before.
I believe one of them was Joe Ettol, and the other one was Eric.
Right. I had heard of Joe Ettol before and stuff, never really seen him or nothing. He seemed decent. The other dude just looked like he was crazy high or something. I don't know what was going on with him. Maybe he just looks like that. Some people just look like that, and they're not, you know, like Jim Brewer really isn't that big of a pothead, but he looks stoned every time you see him. So they had these two dudes, and you're just like, okay, let's hope they make something out of this. Next thing you know, lights out, Gage is out there fucking people up, like old school shit. The Hate Club used to do that shit like once a show on newcomers. Like, fans started shitting on the match, the Hate Club were out, and the match was fucking over. You don't know how many no contests there were in fucking 2001 and shit, 2002. They were just mobbing on motherfuckers. So, I mean, that shit was good, like, you know, throwback. He comes out with his title, this and that. But, you know, unfortunately for Nikki, you know, he called out his two challengers, and he lost that belt. You know, he had it for a week now. And back to Moxley, you know. Three ways are dangerous because you ain't got to get pinned. So, yeah, it was a good match, though. Good match, man. They bust each other's ass. Fucking to start the show like that, that's, you know, it's a hard act to follow for sure. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So from there, we went to, I believe, from what I've been reading, Drew Gulak and Ryan McBride in a one-on-one match.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It was kind of slow. You know, I mean, I would have to say that Gulak would be the speed that you would want in that match. Like, he would have, you know, that quick speed to keep the match at a good pace, where McBride does have a lot of talent and is able to do a lot of things in the match. But just from what I've seen, you know, I think that he needs someone to keep him at a higher pace. Like, when you look at McBride versus B-Boy off of Best of the Best last year, I mean, like, that was, like, high pace. That was good shit. Like, when B-Boy lost first round, normally, like, the place should fucking riot. There's, you know, concession stands should get stomped on, and, you know, people should be throwing shit around. But you actually, like, you're like, damn, B-Boy's out. But, yo, that match was off the hook, you know. So it came off really well, and I think that has a lot to do with not just because B-Boy's good, but the pace. You know, the pace had a lot to do with it, because I think McBride's really good, but Gulak being a faster guy and also being a heel, it slows the match down, you know.
Right.
A lot of heels in the business, they take that road where I'm not going to give the fans what they want or I'd be a face. And, you know, that's what happens. So, it was a little slow. It wasn't terrible, but it was definitely a little slow.
Then our next match, it was Danny Havoc, who defeated 13.
Yeah. Squash match. You expect nothing less, especially without Billy Graham. There's no way that 13 or Lucky or whatever you want to call him could mess with a guy like Danny Havoc. I mean, you know, former Tournament of Death champion. I mean, that's a bad guy to be in there with. You're just a little high flyer. And, Billy Graham had him going at a different pace when he was up in there. But he didn't see Billy just yet, so he got squashed pretty easy, and that's pretty much how that went. It was entertaining.
And after that, Maven Bentley came to the ring to announce the annual Chris Cash Memorial Show, scheduled for a Friday, September 10th show. The main event will be an aerial salt ladder match with the returning Chuck Taylor, Ricochet, and Fakade among those scheduled.
Yeah, not happy with the Friday shit, man, because Friday's going to be a bitch to get off and babysitters and everything else. But, yeah, I'm going to do my best to make it happen for sure. I'll most likely be there. I would really like to, but it's just, you know, Friday's, you know, switching the steez up. I'm normally off the day after the wrestling show. I ain't off on Saturday. I'm off on Sunday. So, you know, it changes a lot for me as a fan. But overall, I mean, I'm sure they're going to put on a great show. They're dodging a lot of competition that there is on Saturday with Evolve and other things out. So, I understand, but I'm also very, very happy that they're not doing this as a doubleheader, because doubleheaders kill me, and there's no way I would do that early show. And I think it hurts the night show. So.
Right.
Yeah.
In a debut for one team, the Osirian Portal, who was making their CZW debut, defeated the best around in the to advance in the semifinals of the CZW World Tag Team Title Tournament.
Yeah. This is more or less like another one of those heel things, like I just got finished saying. The best around, unbelievably talented, but they kind of have that dick heel shit going on where, like, they're not going to give you everything they can because they're heels. And, you know, it's obviously common because, like, two matches later I got to say the same shit. So, you know, it's to be expected. But the Portal are great. I'm glad they're here. I mean, they're tons of fun to watch and, you know, they're great athletes and great gimmick and all of that. So, yeah, it'd be a good thing to have around for sure.
In another matchup that was a highly anticipated match between me, you know, I mean, that we highly were looking forward to seeing.
I thought you were saying you were on the card. I missed that shit.
No. yeah, right. Funny guy. Ruckus defeated AR Fox.
Yeah, great match to me. I mean, it was a good match, man. It actually showed, and Ruckus said after the match on the mic that, you know, this is the first time he's had fun in the ring in a long time. And honestly, I mean, that AR Fox just comes out as one of those guys, like the old school high flyers in CZW, you know, back from 01 and 02, and like those type of guys that, you know, like the SATs were, and the, you know, all the different guys that were coming out and were doing stuff that you didn't see before and were just like high risk, high flying, like crazy shit. And not only SAT, but Ruckus was doing that shit back then. So when you get a guy that used to be that, you know, that same type of dude, you know, and doing all sorts of high-flying, innovative, high-risk stuff, and you match him up with a guy that's more or less like the same thing, you know, later on. I mean, it's a recipe for some good shit. I was happy with that match when I seen it on paper, and I wasn't disappointed when I watched it, so. Yeah.
All right. And the next match, Philly's Most Wanted, Sabian and Joker defeated Tyler Vertaz and Adam Cole to advance to the semifinals of the CZW World Tag Team Title Tournament.
Yeah, they did. So, you know, it was all right. I wasn't a fan of the match. It didn't flow for me. You know, Tyler and Adam Cole have been, like, such upcoming and, like, on fire. You know, it's just really getting in there and, you know, making himself noticed as the next, you know, the next coming and everything like that. It just came off too much to me as, like, a squash where, yeah, I know, like, you know, Philly's Most Wanted trying to be the big heels and everything like that, but to try to build these guys up and then, like, you know, pull a month out and just squash the shit out of them, and then try to make them credible again. It's just a little hard. That's why. I mean, it just didn't go like great to me. It was probably my least favorite match of the show, but you know, it's only me, man. you know, everybody's got different tastes, and I'm sure a lot of people loved it. You know, Joker coming back and everything like that, that's big, and, you know, him and Sabian obviously gel well together. They came up together, so, you know, I'm not shitting on it. I'm just saying that it just wasn't my style, you know, entertainment.
Right. Also, in another matchup, Devin Moore defeated Drake Younger after a Yakuza kick.
I got to say a couple things. I came in really late in this match because it was after intermission. And let me tell you, Rich Swann could play the shit out of a guitar. He could sing his ass off. He was back there playing songs and shit. His shit was like a little mini concert out in the parking lot at intermission. So it was hard to get back in the building, man. This dude is so entertaining. You guys haven't even seen, like, the tip of the iceberg on this guy. Like, yeah, he can go in the ring, no maybe about it, man. He's badass, but he's got all sorts of talent, man. So we finally got back in, and we must have missed most of that match because it seemed like you were down the final stretch when you were hitting high spots and high spots and high spots. And one thing he did, and he finished that fucking match with, and I was looking for it the whole acid fest, and nobody did it. And he pulled that out, and I hope to God that's his new finisher, because that's, fuck, man, that was so Trent Acid. He did the off the ropes, kick to the back of the head, Yakuza to the back of the head, dude ducks down, comes up kind of like woozy, and he's coming off the other rope, and Yakuza finish. You know what I mean? Like that double Yakuza that Trent was doing. And that was really cool, man. I seen that, I was like, wow, that's the shit. I see big things for Devin Moore. I really do. I mean, anybody who doesn't isn't paying attention, because he's been pretty much overachieving all over the fucking place every time he gets out there. So
he's been putting on awesome matches ever since I started seeing him. That was a couple years ago.
What's that?
No, I'm saying, like, Devin Moore, he's always impressed me ever since I've seen him a couple years ago wrestle Billy
Kidman. Oh, right, right.
One-on-one, and that match was very good. Very good. He held his own in that match.
Yeah, I mean, he's done everything from winning the King of the Death match a couple years ago, or we would expect, like, a little high flyer, you know, just normal-looking dude, Devin Moore. Not one of these big hardcore guys that's got, you know, the June Kasai scars all over him and shit, and, you know, a forehead looking like a Klingon. Like, this was a dude that was just able to do every style and come out there and really just, you know, work death matches, work light heavyweight matches, work the heavyweights, work. He's very, very good for the business. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you want to see a lot of shit out of, and he's definitely put it on right now, so I'm glad that he's getting that chance.
Yeah, you're right. That was that. And then the Deathmatch fans got their taste for the evening with Thumbtack Kick Pad versus Taipei Death Fist match with Brain Damage. Bleeding buckets as Scotty Vortex defeated Brain Damage.
That shit was badass. They were kicking the shit out of each other, and you know, Damage with some glass on his fucking fist is a bad fucking thing for his opponent. And Scotty could kick the shit out of people. So the Thumbtack Kick Pads, I liked it the first time they used it. I was surprised they waited this long to use it again. But, yeah, the Thumbtack Kick Pads were really cool. They beat the shit out of each other. And during this match, you know, we got that return of Billy Graham, you know, at the end of that match. And that was a really cool thing, and you know, you saw like the way it went, you know, that, you know, you had Pulp Fiction shitting on him when he was gone, like he just abandoned him and this and that, and he came back and he smacked the shit out of Brain Damage and just kind of let everybody know that he is the leader of that shit, no matter what, no matter who says whatever, and there or not, like when he's there, that's when the team goes the right direction, and you know, yeah, because he is a leader of this shit, so I think it went down really cool. Interested to see where they go with this angle. I mean, it's been nonstop since, you know, the beginning of this year. I mean, Pulp Fiction has really been doing some heavy shit, and Yeah, we'll see. We'll get Masada back. We'll get JC back. You know, we'll definitely see some big shit out of those four, man. So.
Right. And that shit must have been a shock value to see Billy back too.
Yeah, it was, man. You know, definitely shock. You know, Brain Damage is a badass dude to be getting smacked. So, yeah, it was some cool shit.
Right. Let me get the page freaking on. Okay, the main event. It's main event time. And it was Tangled Web 3, and it was with DJ Hyde and Greg Excellent versus the Switchblade Conspiracy of Sami Callihan and Joe Gacy.
Yeah, man, a crazy, crazy fucking match. I mean, you really wouldn't expect that out of most of these people in the ring and shit, you know, in that match on paper, but... Like Greg Excellent, this isn't really his gig. I mean, he's definitely worked a few of these joints, but everybody did their thing, and that shit came off really well. They did a lot of crazy fucking spots. The setup was insane. You know, it was badass, man. Fucking DJ took some shit. I mean, he fell off a fucking ladder through glass, you know, braced, you know, by the floor type shit. Like, yeah, he took some crazy bumps, and they all bust their ass. And after the match, we saw what looks like maybe the end of the Switchblade Conspiracy, because we had Sammy get turned on and attacked by Joe Gacy. So, not really sure where to go with that. I can tell you this: you're not making Joe Gacy a face. So, that's pretty much you know how I see it going. Is Sammy's a face now? Which I mean, that's long overdue because he's definitely over. Guy's been He's been fucking killing himself since, you know, Cage of Death and everything that, even before that, I mean, he was doing all sorts of shit, but, you know, Cage of Death was like that landmark that everybody couldn't fucking deny it, like, whether they liked it or not, when they said, oh, you won't take a bump, and then the guy's taking scaffold bumps with panes of glass falling and shit, and, you know, everything else. I mean, he had to prove all the haters wrong with that shit because, you know, what can you say? You won't take a bump, really? Go do that shit in your yard, motherfucker. Like, the guy, did everything that, you know, that the fans should want to see, and, you know, you really can't deny that. So, you know, I think it'll work fine with him as a face. I just wonder now, what's the next stage for him and Jon Moxley? Are they done as well? I have noticed over the time that Moxley's been champion, he's not doing a lot of, you know, coming out with Sammy, and Sammy's not coming out with Moxley, and, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, whether that might be the next step. I really don't know, but should be interesting, man. We got a lot of upcoming shit, and, yeah, it's definitely going to take turns and everything. We're only a few months away from Cage of Death, and you know Cage of Death is going to be crazy, so.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Real quick, though. I mean, you were there live and in person. I believe you were front row.
Yeah.
What was that contraption like? Was that like something out of, like, what was your thoughts on that, like, that contraption?
It was similar to a lot of previous Tangled Webs where, you know, you got cage with barbed wire, you got, you know, the glass, you got, like, all these different more or less, like setups. Or, I mean, you go off of any side of the ring and get fucked up, you know, and, you know, they pretty much used all of that. They definitely lived up to the expectation of what, you know, Tangled Web has become. It's only been three of them, but it's starting to become, like, one of those, you know, trademark CZW things. Eventually, I think they'll probably have it every year. Like, they said it can't be done, or not, they said it can't be done. What am I saying? Night of Infamy. But Night of Infamy is actually, like, kind of died down in my opinion, and they should probably cut that out. But if they throw in Tangle Web once a year, no one's going to be upset about it. You know, all
right.
Three of them have definitely, you know, performed. And I believe Sammy was in two of them, right?
Two, I believe. I think you're right. I think he was in two of them.
Yeah, so
could
even become Sammy's thing.
The other one, wasn't it with Lufisto? Wasn't one of them with Lufisto? I believe the first one was with
the first one? It may have been. I really can't remember offhand, but yeah, I know Sammy's been in definitely two of them, and yeah, maybe in the long run that'll become his thing. Or, you know, somebody he's got a problem with Tangle Web time, and, you know, he might not have won this one, but, you know, it's definitely a reoccurring theme for the guy, so. Yeah. It was a good show, man. It was a lot of fun. You know, I got to hang out with a lot of guys, you know, in the back and everything. And, like I said, Rich Swann, man, he's stupid entertaining, man. He's out there with the guitar just jamming and shit.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
Hell
that's
yeah.
Cool, though. Yeah, I mean, that shows he's, you know, multi-talented, though. You know, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure is.
Another
thing, that tag tournament that they're running, the way they got them brackets set up, the Osirian portal is obviously advanced, but the bracket that they would meet up with is a match that hasn't happened yet, which is Switchblade Conspiracy versus Cheech and Cloudy. Now, you got a team that just obviously pretty much broke up. I mean, if these guys got to compete against, you know, another team like Cheech and Cloudy, I mean, can you see these guys advancing? You know, after Gacy just beat the shit out of Sammy, so, I mean, that would be surprising to me, you know, for them to survive through that match. It's going to be a hard deal, man. One of them might end up stranded in the ring, and, you know, then you're going to see Cheech and Cloudy in the next match against the Portal, you know what I mean, when they advance. But should be interesting, because they're still in the, you know, in the tournament, having just pretty much split up.
Right. So that's that, and CZW
yeah.
does return, like I said before, to the ECW Arena for the Chris Cash Memorial Show on Friday, September 10th.
Right. Yep. You know, and then you got Team Action versus Irish Drive-By, and I guess the winner of that will be facing Philly's Most Wanted.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Real interesting. See what happens.
Yep.
We'll be checking out on that. But for all your CZW news, you can check out the website at czwrestling.com.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
So what else do you want to talk about? Got a few things.
Well, what do you want to go into next?
Go into whatever you want to. You want to talk about some TNA? Some hardcore.
We got any more indie news to talk about before we go into TNA? Just so we can talk maybe, you know, talk indie wrestling, then talk TNA. I don't want to go all over the place, but
really doesn't matter to me.
Mia Yim and CZW, I heard, though. Going back to CZW real quick, Mia Yim debuted.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't debut in a match or anything, but, you know, they announced her. She came out there, threw T-shirts and, you know, that type of thing. It's good to see, man. Yeah.
I need to ask you a question. Did you catch a T-shirt?
No, I didn't catch a T-shirt. No. No, you know.
That was an
but,
awesome T-shirt from Mia Yim.
Yeah, I'll be all right, but yeah, man. So that's cool. They honestly need women in CZW. They don't need like an oversaturation of it, or they don't need like the wrong people in it. But you know, the ones that can work and stuff, and that'll be fine. And you know, from what I hear, she's definitely doing good, and she's still training and all sorts of stuff. She, I think she just worked
Mickey James. And,
yeah,
yep.
She just worked Mickey James. And, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I would like to see definitely more, you know, women that could wrestle in wrestling. And I would also like to see more managers that could manage in wrestling. Because I think those are two things that are, they're big keys to wrestling actually going well all together. You know, you need different characters. Some people can't talk, so they need someone to talk for them. And then everything comes together, you know. And then the storylines and everything else, you know, with women involved, it definitely adds other perspectives to storylines. So it's just
right.
It's a good thing, man.
Alrighty.
So,
let's figure out something else. I mean, what do you want? Do you just want to talk about that TNA stuff, or do you want to talk? Do you want to talk the ECW pay per view, and then you want to talk about this past week on Impact, or?
Well, yeah, yeah.
That?
That's the beginning of my TNA discussion. Is definitely the hardcore, fucking whatever the fuck they call it, justice or injustice or I don't know. Yeah. So, you know. You go ahead and give me your thoughts on that, and I definitely have my own.
Right.
What did you think of it?
Well, I was an ECW fan, you know, growing up, huge ECW fan, and watched it at midnight on television when it would come on. Sometimes I'd record it, and then when I go to school, and I get home from school, I'd pop that in. On the VHS and watch it. And I always look forward to watching that, you know, in the afternoon. And watching ECW and, you know, seeing these guys put their bodies on the line every single night, or excuse me, every single show, just doing crazy shit. Before shit went even crazier, they were doing crazy shit. You know what I mean? They were innovative at the time. They were insane. Some people even called them stupid. But now, you know, they did the WWE One Night Stand, right? And that shit was good. One Night Stand 2, with a little bit more WWE flavor, not so much. I did like the RVD Cena match because I got to see Cena's, when Cena threw the t-shirt in the crowd. They threw it right back at him, and Van Damme to win the belt. That shit was good. But then they brought it back ECW, and that killed it. TNA brought it in, and, you know, they waited a while. And they did some good things with it, you know, with this pay-per-view. And I think it was a good pay-per-view. I'll say it right now. And I see a bunch of TNA fans in the chat room, so I don't care if I offend you when I say this, but that was probably the best TNA pay-per-view I've ordered. And it had no TNA matches.
Right.
I mean,
and that's something that...
Every time I order a pay-per-view with these TNA guys, it seems like, oh, well, I'm looking forward to like 5 or 6 matches, and every single one of them come up short. And I'm not the type of guy that I set my high standards. I want to see good stuff. I want to see good wrestling, maybe a couple high spots. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just a little, you know, back and forth exchange, good exchange. You know what I mean? Wrestling.
Yeah.
Not fucking around. I want to see wrestling.
Right.
You guys are fucking professionals.
Yeah.
And
So, yeah, man. So, my thoughts on it is, like you said, probably, you know, the best TNA pay-per-view I've seen, just entertainment-wise. I mean, whether it was the best match or, you know, Tracy Smothers telling everybody that if we can't do better, straight up, everybody dies. You know, shit like that, like, crack me the fuck up. You know, New Jack making Jeremy Borash his bitch. Like,
not his bitch.
You know, all these things like that, just entertainment-wise, you know, was cool. And it was cool just like, because you know why? Because TNA is such an empty fucking, it's such an empty platter. It's real easy to put anything on it and entertain somebody for one night. But like you said, there's no fucking TNA talent on the entire card. So where do you go from that? You fucking wave to them and go, hey, I wish we could fucking do that all the time, and then bring your guys back in like they just did? Well, I don't know what that game plan is. I don't. And to tribute a company that fucking died, you know, this amount of time ago, that's crazy to me. It was just like a hot shot deal. They just tried to, like, one-time it. And for to succeed more than fucking TNA already is by itself is ridiculous. That's so funny because it's like running a company and then being like, hey, watch how I bring other people in and they instantly do better than we're doing. I mean, that's funny shit to me because I don't know how a business fucking survives like that. I keep wondering how TNA is surviving because they're pouring out all sorts of fucking money. So it must be a deep-ass vault they got. But that, you know, the main event surprised the shit out of me because I seen Sabu, you know, probably 6-7 years ago or something, some indie shit, and he blew more spots than he fucking hit. And it made me sad because, I mean, Sabu was definitely one of them dudes that I was watching, you know, the Sabus, the RVDs, the Taz, the, you know, these was my guys in ACW that I was all about, but what are they doing and shit. So when you see a guy declining and stuff, you understand, and it's sad that he's still got to do that for the payday, but you kind of just shy away from it, and you don't seek out Sabu matches anymore, and you don't look for your favorite guy's matches anymore because you know it's just going to upset you, you know, and it's what he needs to do, so by all means, go ahead, but you're not fucking traveling 2 hours to go see that shit no more. You're not, you know, going out of your way to spend $20 on a DVD or something. So I didn't know what we, you know, could have gotten out of this. And, man, they didn't blow a fucking spot in that match. That match was fucking unbelievable. Like, I was so happy with that shit. Like, I couldn't even believe that shit. Like, I mean, seriously, that match definitely put on, man.
Yeah, it did. It was really good. How about Sabu bald? How about that?
Yeah, I've seen that. He was bald. He's been bald for a while now. He actually he wrestled Drake in IWA, and yeah, man, I've seen him like that for a little bit, but same too, yo. I don't know. I mean, the hair was holding him back or what the case was, but I'm telling you, he showed the fuck up there, and that was good, but it's really funny because when your next main event can't fucking live anywhere near close to where that shit sits, your next pay-per-view is going to suck. You're going to have fucking Sting and Hogan in a Who Limps Less match and shit. And you know? And Sting will win that shit, but, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. For them to be paying the amount of fucking dollars out at Hulk Hogan and then pull RVD and Sabu out in the main event and just do that, you know, and have, you know, the AJs and the Homicides and the Motor City Machine Guns and Jay Lethal and, I mean, the talent that they have and the talent, really, that they have access to, because if that was their market, they would have snatched up everybody in the indies and been putting on the best fucking show on TV, you know, because that's what it comes down to. If they wanted all the high flyers and they wanted, like, the legit right now hardcore guys instead of fucking Abyss with what the fuck does he call that stick? Clarice or fucking Clarissa or some kind of shit. What does he call that shit?
Janice.
Maybe, whatever. Yeah, Janice. But he ain't hit nobody with that fucking thing. What are you fucking kidding me? Like, that is marketed towards fucking 12-year-old kids who haven't seen a fucking Japanese tape ever. Because you'll know, like, how far shit is going to go when you get to, like, Japanese hardcore. You know, and it's definitely, it's trailed over here as well. But, I mean, if you're into hardcore and you watch that shit, you'll see, like, what has been done, what hasn't been done. And they've done, like, Beds and Nails and shit like that, but it's not that often. It's not a very often thing. So this big retard isn't going to run around looking like fucking Kane and Mankind's baby and shit, hitting people with a fucking spike bat. That shit ain't happening. You know what I mean? And you can run them cut segments all day like they did with fucking RVD, which I got a segue to. You know, but that's all you can do. Just be like, oh, we weren't filming, and now we are, and look how bad he beat him with that thing. That fucking thing he never gets his hands on during a match. Oh, shit, he fucked him up with that. Oh, yeah, did he? Okay, that's cool. So, and off of that, like I said, RVD, man, He busted his fucking ass for this thing. They gave him the title, honestly, I think a little quick, but they were just trying to lock him in my opinion. But he, you know, all of a sudden now, I don't know what was said, what was done, I don't know what, but strip him of the title, play an injury angle, and take him off TV after this. Wow. Like, what the fuck, what even fucking goes on between here and there? Like, you run a whole fucking ECW fucking EV fucking 2 or whatever the fuck pay-per-view with none of your guys involved, headlining as your champion, puts on a great fucking match with another guy that you used to book, and the result is don't continue to book Sabu and strip RVD, play like he's injured, put him on the quote-unquote shelf, and then pretty much future endeavor him. Like, they posted some kind of shit online that it was like, yeah, he's currently not going to be booked, or some kind of, like, roundabout shit. Like, they weren't saying he's gone completely, but they were like, for the foreseeable future, we're not planning on using, so we're stripping. And, like, it was just ridiculous. I don't know. I don't understand how, like, you can have something that's semi-successful and then come off of that and be like, fuck, okay, let's go another direction. Like, how does this work?
It's terrible. It's terrible. It's fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's not wrestling.
So, when Abyss is the world champion next, him and Janice are tag team champions. And, you know, they're running the world like that. And he's trying to figure out how to buckle a belt around a stick with fucking nails on it. But,
How bad is the rating going to be? Give me a number. Give me a number there, J-Cat. What's the number going to be for those pay-per-views? Yeah, yeah. Like a 0.1?
Yeah, just horrible, yeah. Just bad, I'm sure. I don't even know, man. I don't know. Do you know what the ECW one came in?
I don't even know. What did they? Did they draw good?
I don't know. They should have. No, I think they did better than usual, but I don't know if it was even good by, you know, standards of anything else, you know, so. It's just crazy, man. TNA, they fucking up. I mean, I don't think Dixie has a clue what the fuck she's doing. I really don't think Dixie has a clue what she's doing.
The problem I have, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Jay, but she's the money mark. She has people that have done things in the wrestling business, and they still can't get it right. They have Hulk Hogan, for God's sake. They have freaking Bischoff. They have Tommy Dreamer. If they're making excuses for why their product is so bad, what's wrong? There's something wrong there. I mean, I don't want to, you know, say that it might be, you know, that maybe they're not before, you know, sometimes when Dusty Rhodes came in, you know, back in the business to do agency, or like, you know, sometimes you're not, you know, what's that word? You're not at that level. You know what I mean? It's a different style, and they're still stuck in that same style from 10, 15 years ago. And it's a different style. It's a different attitude towards the business. You know what I mean? You can see that with the independent circuit. You know what I mean? It's a different way of wrestling. It's a different, you know, different style. You know what I'm saying? It's just they're not adapting to the changes in the business.
Now, well, I mean, the change in the business is honestly, and, you know, I don't really care, like, who feels what about this, because it's a fact. I mean, it's just like anybody else. Like, you're not going to have a guy that's 95 at the head of your company, the one that's supposed to be making all the moves and putting in all the work. I mean, you retire that guy and you give him a good fucking retirement salary or some shit like that. But you don't put guys that you see, like, when you try to do hardcore, you don't use fucking guys that have already burnt out of hardcore. You don't. Like, in fucking 2001, when Tommy Dreamer told Zandig, you're far more ultra-violent than I'll ever be in my life. You know what I mean? That's, he was passing the torch then. Shit. Zandig is retired. So what does that tell you? When somebody passes the torch to somebody else, who obviously, you know, had outdone him at that point, and then the guy he passed the torch to retired, and you're fucking on pay-per-view and shit, wrestling the same guys you used to wrestle. What, I mean, what does that say? Do you not go back to the well and be like, hey, matter of fact, oh, look at all these guys that are up top that they're actually doing crazier shit than anybody's seen. We're not going to use those guys because people have heard of Tommy Dreamer, so we're gonna do that again. Okay, well, limp his ass out there, give him a fucking walker or something, and, you know, just buy Segways for your whole fucking locker room so they don't need to walk out to the ring because it's looking painful, you know. I just...
It is terrible, and, you know, I mean, I'm tired of it. I know damn well you're tired of it.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're not going to do the same. So, you know, try to get it, you know what I mean? They should just try to get it right. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of freaking younger fans that have not experienced it. And I think this is a totally different subject for a totally different day. But if you want, I can, you know, we could talk about this a little bit if you want. It seems like a lot of the younger fans think TNA's fine. TNA's, you know, good. But you know what? You know why, Jay? And we can't really get on them about this, okay? They didn't grow up with you know, in our situations. You know what I mean? In the wrestling that we watched back in the day. They watched WWE, that crap. You know what I'm saying? That stuff. And they're used to it. They're like, oh, shit, TNA's doing some impressive shit. Oh, no, shit, because you haven't seen this. You haven't seen that. You haven't seen, you know, this shit, old school stuff. You know what I mean? A lot of, like, you know what I mean? Some people go, what's ECW? And they're like TNA fans. It's like, if you would have seen ECW, you would have been like, that's how shit got done. That's the fucking effort that you put out. You know, I hope I'm not rambling here, but that's just the way, you know, I don't know. That's just me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, younger fans are always going to view shit different. I mean, you look at, honestly, I mean, I'm obviously a little older than you, but, I mean, you know, when I was back in the day and watching the Macho Mans and the Hulk Hogans, and they're just fucking bananas on promos, just like nobody talks like that, right? So, you know, anyone older than you, you know, whether it be your father, your uncle, you know, whatever else, they're going to look at you and be like, you can't be kidding me. You got to be kidding me with this shit. Like, God, what the fuck? And these dudes are just wilding out, veins coming out of their neck, and they're talking about shit in space and fucking just bugging out, like, you know, Ultimate Warrior. I mean, the crazy-ass promos and, you know, just all that crazy, goofy shit in the ring at the time was the best shit in the world to me. But anybody older than you, by 10, 20 years, we're looking at you like, what the fuck with this shit? What? Really? You kidding me? You know, so time changes and everything like that, but now a lot of those guys, you know, are more into the shit we're seeing now, you know, the fast pace, and let's see how much better we can do it. And so the older crowd is geared more towards the better wrestling because, I mean, they've seen that and this and that, you know, but younger fans don't have enough they just don't have enough base. They don't have enough, like, well, I have watched this, and now I'm watching this. You know what I mean? They haven't seen shit. So everything they're watching is kind of like a new experience, even if it's been done. So, you know, rewatching and rewatching and rewatching that whole TNA shit with Kevin Nash, fucking Hogan limping out, fucking Scott Hall, like, fucking shit, like, it's still kind of new to them, you know what I mean? So even if it isn't cool to us anymore because we saw it when it actually happened, to them they're like, well, I never saw it live. I've seen tapes. I've heard about it, but they're actually here now. Look at them. So it's just different on that. That's how I feel about that. Like, the only reason, like, the youth would care about seeing Hulk Hogan right now because they had never actually seen him live, you know? So... that right. Kind of, like, holds some kind of weight, but overall, that shit doesn't hold any weight, you know. You're not going to say, I can't forget when he fucking cleared out the ring with right hands after he limped up that fucking ramp at the impact zone. The impact zone, man, he blew my fucking mind when he limped down that ramp like someone shot him in the leg and just cleared the ring with right hands. That was the time. You know, there's no way that's going to live down in fucking history. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. You're not going to, fucking 2 weeks from now, you're not going to be like, remember when Hogan cleared the fucking ring with right hands? With the dead leg? Remember that shit? No, nobody's going to fucking, so what?
They'll be like, what? They'll be like, who? What are you talking about?
It's like,
right?
I mean,
that's
there's
exactly what they'll be like, what?
There's more likely to be like a fucking a YouTube clip or some shit somebody saw. Remember that dude bust his face on the edge of the truck or something? You know, you're going to hear more of that shit than you're going to hear, remember when Hulk Hogan cleared the ring with right hands? I mean, it's just not worth shit. And the amount that they're paying this guy is, like, baffling. So it needs to go, but as long as some fans support it and, you know, the aura of Hulk Hogan runs wild or whatever the fuck, you know, it's going to exist. Just because, I mean, what else can happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's there. I mean, what the hell? You know, it's crazy. I have a, I just found an article online. It's actually from fanhouse.com. If you wanted me to read that. Kind of funny. It's about it's Eric Bischoff, and he's talking about Ring of Honor. Did you see that at all?
No.
You want me to read that to you for you? It's real brief. Real brief.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
All right. Bischoff's full statement. This is his full statement. All right. Interesting reasons. Clearly, the majority of people here have no idea what drawing money is. ROH is not making money on TV, pay-per-view, or arena shows. It's a backyard vanity project for marks. No disrespect to the town who are working hard, but numbers don't lie. They don't have opinions, and they don't have agendas.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, I mean, from what I hear, ROH is losing a shitload of money, so I can't disagree with that, but it's really funny to be sitting in a TNA office telling other people how they're losing money. And that's funny because there is no fucking way that they're gaining money in DNA. There's no way. Fucking Orlando Jordan could be doing fucking gay massages in the back and fucking charging for it and this shit for every fag in Florida and shit. And there's no way that they would make the fucking money to be making money. Yeah, not at all. No way. They can't even break even with the amount of shit that they're paying out, man. It's just, you know, they fucking, speaking of Orlando Jordan, they signed him to a 3-year deal and shit, like, a couple months ago. Like, this is what we lock in for 3 fucking years. You're going to lock him in at a good salary? That's crazy. You know, I don't mean to disrespect any of the gay people and shit like that. Obviously, you know, we had Johnny on week one and shit like that. But I'm just saying that, you know, the way he's coming off is just super fag. Like, there's no way. I mean, Johnny'd have stiff competition for Mr. Gay Florida because this guy is representing out there with fucking, you know, the costumes and the just overplaying the shit out of his gimmick lifestyle, whatever it is. So, yeah, I'm just not a fan of it, you know. So, I don't know how you sign that guy to 3 years and then, you know.
3 years? Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they're around in 3 years, let alone his contract.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that, bro. I'm with you on that.
A lot of money being lost.
I want to see what the TNA fans are going to do then. As it goes under, the day it goes under, you know, a bunch of people are going to be bitching and moaning.
Yeah, well, they're going to bitch all they want. I mean, WCW went under, ECW went under. Everybody had to deal with it. Fuck, man.
Right. Definitely. Looking at some more stuff and getting to some indie stuff, I definitely want to talk about this because they have announced some talent for it. And I think, I've been looking at the talent, I'm thinking, wow, it's going to be really good. But PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you're familiar with them, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're running Battle Los Angeles and it's going to be taking place September 5th, 2010. And they have announced some talent for it. And what was that?
I said my daughter's birthday.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The first entrant into Bola is Christopher Daniels. The next two,
nice.
Brandon Gadsden and Ricochet.
Nice.
4 and 5 is Rocky Romero and Chuck Taylor. And where's next page? I'm off the website, so that's giving me a 6 is Roderick Strong. 7 is Claudio Castagnoli. 8 is Nick Jackson. 9 is El Generico. 10 is Matt Jackson. And 11 and 12, Brandon Bonham. And number 12 is the wacky but good Paul London.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, they've been putting on bomb fucking shows. They had to turn away like 100 or 200 people on their last show. I've never heard of that shit. I mean, people say that shit sarcastically after the show. We were turning people away. We were bolting the doors shut. We couldn't even hold it in the building. But these cats legitimately had to turn like 100, 200 people away because they were that fucking packed in the building. And I hope, man, they just get a better building and pack that motherfucker too. You know what I mean? Because for an indie to be doing that well is phenomenal, man. I ain't going to be, you know, attending any shows anytime soon. It's in California. I'm in Jersey. That's just not my budget. You know, it's hard to make it to CZW every month.
Right.
But, you know, yeah.
You gotta do.
I'm really happy for them, you know, and all their success, man. They put on a good product. They definitely do. And I like their work out there. So, hope they keep that shit up, man.
Right. Yeah, so that's some indie stuff, and we'll be following up on that Battle of Los Angeles stuff in the upcoming weeks, as some guests come, you know, as some, you know, people get announced, we can, you know, reveal on the show.
Yeah, I'm supposed to have some homies call in and stuff, and haven't got a word yet, so. You know, I mean, we'll definitely set some shit up for next week if we don't this week. And, you know, we'll keep this moving. It's not a problem.
Right.
I mean, what else are you talking about? You know, we obviously got into TNA
We gotta talk about something because I want to hear your thoughts on it. And I hope you've heard about this situation. But let's tell the listeners to check out our archive shows at blogtalkradio.com/YKRonline. Jay, give the listeners a rundown of who we've had on in the last couple weeks.
Well, we started the show off, obviously, you know, the name of the show and everything is Tribute to Trent Acid, so who better to start my show off with than Johnny Cashmere? So that's what we did. We had Cashmere. He brought his new tag team partner, Matt Walsh, on here. They promoted a bunch of stuff. We talked some stories about old school CZW, really got into all of that stuff. You know, he promoted how extremely gay he is and, like, how nobody in Philadelphia could be gayer than him. So, you know, I support that. That's cool. I mean, that's what he wants to be, the gayest guy in Philly. And, hey, man, just go for that shit. Do everything you need to do that, all right? You know, Johnny's my dude, man. He's cool as shit, so do that, man. And then week two, we had DJ Hyde. Unexpectedly, we had Sammy Callahan for a couple minutes because he intercepted his phone, and that's the type of shit that happens. Week three, we were actually supposed to have Eddie Kingston on, and it didn't work out at the last minute because he had to work his job. And within an hour over here at the, you know, at the Morris facility, you know, we scraped together at the Morris compound. We scraped together a man called Homicide, you know, and we put Homicide on and probably, you know, three quarters of the way through the show, all of a sudden B-Boy wanted to call in, so we let him call in. So we ended up having Homicide and B-Boy on. And I mean, that shit was phenomenal. The last week we just did, we recapped the PWI 500. It was pretty good. It was definitely, it was my first show I did without a guest. So it was definitely, you know, a little bit of a trial for me. It was a little hard for me just because I've never done this shit before. Like before these four, now five shows, I've never done this shit before, straight up. So, you know, it's a learning process. I'm getting a little better as I go, and, you know, I'm thankful for everybody just fucking dealing with me, you know, and giving me a chance to do this shit. So, yeah, man, that's what we've done so far.
I had to throw that out there. Me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're the man. You're the man.
Yeah.
You're fun to talk to and work with. And just saying.
Yep. So, I mean, that's what we got. I got a bunch of fucking guests that are definitely going to be playing for the future. A bunch of them. But, you know, I talked to, like, half these people yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot of maybes and ifs and this and that, but I know a couple dudes real well that are definitely going to be doing, you know, big things in the next coming weeks. So, definitely keep checking us out.
On the Facebook. Check us out on the Facebook. We have a Facebook page. If you're part of the Facebook social networking site, you could type in Yakuza Kick Radio, and you could sign up on our fan page on there. And get all the upcoming news. Give me 1 second, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the other thing, I mean, is, you know, it's a growing process. This show's going to be big. We're going to keep this moving. We're going to keep getting guests. We're going to keep, you know, just putting our name out there every way we can. So just keep supporting, guys. We're going to make it better and better as we go.
Right, right. Definitely. You know what? I gotta say it right now. Do you ever hate that when this happens? When you feel like you have to sneeze, but it just doesn't want to come out? That's what's happening right now.
So I seen Billy Gunn acting like Mel Gibson on the fucking internet. You seen that shit? That was pretty funny.
No, I did not see that shit, but I need to see that shit.
On DOI, Declaration of Independence. They had a little, you know, phone conversations where he's yelling, fuck you, with some broad and shit, and, you know. he was mailing the fuck out, man. It's going to become the new thing. Be like, just, yo, dude was mailing the fuck out. That's what it is. That's going to be the new thing. And then you'll know he was just yelling at a chick, just blacking out on a chick. So, that'd be the new shit. Like, yo, what did he get locked up for? Oh, man, yo, he was mailing out. The cop showed up. You know what I mean? And you'll know that that'll be just the new jump off for that. So, because it's happening more and more. People got tapes all the time now. So, people never had the tapes back in the day. It was just, you know, you and the chick on the phone. But now they got tapes, man. So, you're mailing the fuck out. Better make sure you ain't on tape.
Right, right. Well, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
What's going on? Hey, I need to ask you a question. Have you heard anything or read about the whole Tiffany Drew McIntyre situation?
No, I don't even know what you're pertaining to. I know the two people, but I don't know that there's a situation.
Tiffany was suspended by the WWE for a domestic incident with Drew McIntyre.
Huh. I didn't know they were domestic. That's cool.
They've been married, I think.
Okay. I didn't know that shit.
So
that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, apparently they had some type of incident, and Tiffany got suspended.
Huh. Well,
Drew
I don't
McIntyre
know, man.
Still able to wrestle. So,
yeah.
That's what happened.
That's cool. I mean, you could tell the difference in the roles. I mean, I don't know, you know, who hit who and shit and all of that, but I could just say, like, you know, Drew McIntyre probably holds a little more weight on this role than Tiffany does, but I'm just guessing.
It's crazy. I take your phone real quick. Anyway, but Yeah, it's just real crazy how shit goes. Yeah, I mean.
Things happen.
Yeah. And we have the chance. I don't know what we're doing next week. So I think we'll probably hit this up on maybe again on a Sunday. But we will not be regularly on Sundays for all you listeners. We're going to be coming back.
Our plan right now is to do Sundays until football season, because I can't fuck around on Sundays in football season, man. That's my day.
Jacob Morris loves his football.
You're goddamn right I do. And I'm over the damn football pool this year. And my 49ers going to make the fucking playoffs for the first time in a minute. And, yeah. We'll go from there. I'll just request those two things, and other than that, I'm good. So, you know, I'm heavy on that shit. So, football season, it can't be Sunday. I'll probably have shit to say about it on Thursday or whatever other day we decide. Right now, you know, I mean, Thursday was our launch day, so we're looking at that. But, you know, we'll weigh the options to see what works best for both of us. And, you know, hopefully everybody will follow. Definitely. So, right now, definitely check us out Sundays at 5 o'clock every week. Yeah, what else you got, man? I watched a little bit of the NXT.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a little bit of the NXT I watched, and Loki seems to
think?
Be, like, just a cabal. It seems to be double-stomping the shit out of people, and that's cool, man. I like to see that, but I don't know. It's kind of empty, man. There's probably, like, fucking three people in there that's worth shit, and to me, I'm the fucking minority in this, but I don't think fucking Alex Riley is that good. I don't know, man. Like, everybody's like, fucking Alex Riley, he's the shit, and he'll do better than fucking, Henning or Loki or Percy Watson or any of that shit. And I think those are the top three dudes. I think those are the top three dudes is fucking...
I agree.
Yeah, I think McGillicuddy, Loki, and Percy Watson are the top three dudes in that. And I think that they're entertaining and they're worth something in the fucking business. So, I don't know, man. Half of them dudes just look stupid. And I can't handle it. You know what I mean? Like that Husky Harris shit, like the dude is stupid out of shape. Just, I don't know, man. I can't see him as credible. His moves don't look crisp. He just doesn't look polished, man. And I don't like to see things that big polished any goddamn way. So that's just that. And then that other dude, I think he was cut, right? The big retarded dude. It kind of looks like EC Negro.
Eli Cottonwood. Eli Cottonwood, you mean?
He got cut.
Lucky Cannon got
cut
too.
Like if EC Negro was like a bunch bigger and retarded, that's what he would look like. That's what he
would look like. You're right. That's been funny, though.
just not a fan. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I haven't seen nothing else in the other Nexus shit because it just makes me sick and I avoid it like the plague. But, you know. It'll go on for a little bit. This shit's going to die down quick, though. They killed their buzz with the Brian Danielson shit.
Brian, yeah, definitely. Totally agree.
Yeah, it's hard to be heels. You know, it's hard to be heels when you put a ceiling on it. You know, you can't tell people, like, you can be bad, but not that bad. You can't do that shit. It takes the buzz, it takes the spark out of every fucking thing you're trying to do. So...
Yeah, you're right. You're damn right.
So what you got, man?
I'm checking out some stuff and
you reading the internet and shit.
Oh, I'm kind of pissed. People are complaining that the Blog Talk Radio website's acting up because people were. One of the, my friends on the Facebook posted that they were listening to our show, and then the website started acting up. I don't know what's up with that.
You got any? You got any questions in the chat room in there?
I mean, like I said before, we have I mean, there's people coming in and out of the chat room, and they're really not saying anything. I mean,
really?
I mean, somebody, MadMax420 said they also took Tiffany out of the SmackDown videos, and there's a few reports of it on the web.
I don't really give a shit about that shit, but whatever. anybody got questions in the chat room, throw some shit up, you know what I mean? I'm trying to fill some time just because, you know, we were supposed to have people call in and shit, and apparently they dropped out, but it's all good. Next week I'm going to have some more shit, more concrete, but, you know, we'll hit every topic that we can tonight, and, you know, just see how this goes, you know?
Yeah, I believe we have somebody listening from Canada. How about that?
Awesome. Fucking as much international fucking exposure as we can get, as many people that are going to enjoy this shit, the better. I mean, it's...
Damn right.
I'm all about it, man. So...
It's all about, you know, the chat room is for you to voice your opinion about the world of professional wrestling.
Hell yeah. We'll put you on here and shit. Man. So, where are you looking to go, Eric? Huh?
Well, I mean, maybe we can talk a little bit about, oh, damn, what the fuck? Seriously? Don't you hate that when you get on a website and then it fucking kicks you off? I mean, we got a good 19 minutes left in the show.
Nice.
Let's see what we can do. Yeah, we got some good stuff.
Well.
WWE stuff. How about what? Let me throw this out there, right? I don't know if you watched any SmackDown recently, but here's my question. Where the fuck is Matt Hardy?
Where?
Yeah.
You're asking me where?
Yeah, what's happening?
I don't know. Maybe he went to hell, because I've been begging for that to happen for years. I don't know. What do you mean, where? Did he go away? I haven't watched it, but did he go away?
No, I didn't. I don't watch SmackDown. I don't have time to watch SmackDown.
No. Well, you were saying, where's Matt Hardy? I was just wondering,
yeah,
did he fucking leave finally?
I thought
maybe
he got released or something.
Did he?
Maybe he went to hell. I don't know.
Yeah, he might have. Because I've been like, every time I see a match and Matt Hardy's fucking in it, making it horrible, I'm like, go to hell, mother. So, he might have gone to hell just now. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to be personally responsible for that shit, but I can't say that I didn't wish that shit. So.
Stop mowing out, Jay. Stop mowing out.
I
just throw out there. You set yourself up for that one.
So, yeah, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. WWE, they do their thing. I mean, they obviously make the most money in the fucking business, so who the fuck am I to tell them anything? So, you know, like I said, different people like different shit. And the majority of motherfuckers obviously like their shit, so that's fine.
Right, yeah. That's your choice. Everybody has their own choice.
Hell yeah. You know, There's motherfuckers on the indies that are outdoing people in the WWE. And, you know, it's just not noticed because there's, like, a certain stage. And, you know, like, some concerts will have, like, three stages and the main act is on the main stage and, like, the main acts are going to be on that stage. Then other stages they have, you know, other groups playing and shit that aren't quite to the level of that, but they have their own cult following that, like, you'll see crowds at all three stages. Like, the one stage is playing with the main band and shit, and then there's another stage that's playing, and they're ignoring that fucking main band because they're all about that side band that is putting the shit on, because that's their gig, man. They don't give a fuck where they are level or status-wise, and that's the difference between, you know, indie wrestling and, you know, mainstream wrestling. That main stage is obviously going to get bulk crowd most of the time, but the cult followings that come through indie wrestling are going to bring people to them side stages because it's just their gig, man. It's just what they'd rather see. And even if that indie band or that indie wrestler does better shit than that guy on the main stage, they're not looking at it at all. You know? It's it's not even put on in front of those people because those people aren't even showing up. And I think that's the difference. Like, if you saw, like, side-by-side clips, you're like, okay, oh, that Randy Orton shit. Fucking, I know I keep bringing it up, but, you know, like, that Randy Orton shit. Wow, I'd never seen a move like that. And then all of a sudden you saw a clip of B-Boy doing it, and you saw another clip of B-Boy doing it, like, a couple wrestlers and DDTs and all sorts of shit coming off. You'd be like, wow, that's crazy. Where the hell is that from? You know, like, I don't think it's put up against the top. You know, that well, quote-unquote, top company, WWE, as much as it should be. I think, like, if more shit was put out there, like, look at this guy and put, like, the date it happened and then post the clips of the B-Boy shit and post the date of the clip that shit happened. You know what I mean? He did a lot of that, and, I mean, Morrison is stealing all sorts of shit. Fucking, Cass is stealing the shit out of Spanish Flies all over the place. And, you know, it's just regular shit, like, even that shit that he does one of them, kind of like a front face lock type thing, but then like a rolling, like flip move. That shit, The Rock has been doing that shit for a long fucking time.
You know that those WWE marks are, you know, WWE wrestlers are indie marks then.
Well, yeah, it's more or less like somewhere to scout and somewhere to just steal shit. Like there's some like rappers out there that'll, like, they're big time, but they'll listen to a bunch of people just freestyle and steal some of their punchlines and shit. Because why? They're not in the fucking, they're not up here where anyone's going to know about it. Fuck it. And then they take that shit and eat off it, you know? It's the same thing in the wrestling business. And a lot of people take it as, you know, it's imitation is the best form of flattery and shit, you know, that type of thing. But, I don't know. I still see it as kind of disrespectful because people are talking about it and people are giving a shit about it because Randy Orton did it. And that's crazy. So, either way, I mean, it's just, I think the indies deserve more respect than they get to just say that, oh, they're just, they're off Broadway, as some people like to say. Or, you know, they're not up to the caliber. I mean, these people are dead wrong. There's so many people that deserve to be up there that just haven't got the call, and it doesn't matter, you know, what the reason is. The fact is, you know, they're just as good, if not better, than some of those guys on the fucking WWE.
Right. They just don't have. They're just not. They're not there yet. Well, who knows?
It's not even that. It's not even that they're not there. Like, listen, like. You know, I work in an animal shelter, and I get the fucking question I get all the time is, you know, why are there so many animals? Like, they go, wow, you have a lot of this and that. Don't they get adopted? Like, yeah, actually they do, but say, you know, you're a dog amongst 80 dogs, or you're a cat amongst 200 cats. Fuck. Somebody's got to pick you. You know what I mean? Someone's got to pick you, and that's the only way you're getting the fuck out of there. And that's what, you know, indie wrestling, someone's got to hitch their fucking, their shit to you, and someone's got to actually, you know, take liking to you. And amongst the masses, a lot of those people got to take liking to you. And then you're on your way. But with so many hundreds and thousands, and that's what it is, man. It's not that they're not good enough. I mean, I got, you know, we got some of the nicest fucking dogs and coolest fucking cats in that bitch. And you're like, damn, every day you show up, like, why didn't this motherfucker go home yet? Someone's got to pick him. And that's the same thing with indie wrestlers, man. Like, you don't know. You could be the best guy out, but if no one points at your ass, you ain't going nowhere. You know, it's kind of crazy like that, man. The business is wild, and only the chosen make it, not necessarily the best.
Which is,
yeah.
Yep. All right, you wanted a question, Jay? We got a question from the chat room, and he's asking you this question.
Right.
So here we go. Mad Max 420W, the guy from Canada, is wondering what's your thoughts on the amount of wrestlers who have been passing away in the past 10 years? Since it's obvious there's been more passing on in the past 10 years than in the 10 plus before that.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. And it's obviously, you know, a lot of it has to do with drug use. And, I mean, you can just do the math on everything. And wrestling has gone to a higher level. And like I've been saying, like, there's more sharks in the water and there's more people out there to get their payday. And whoever they got to, you know, move out of the spot to get their payday, they're going to do it. I mean, that's when you're an independent worker, I mean, you have to scramble for work, whether it be wrestling or contractor. I mean, you got to outbid the next guy, you know, and you got to work harder. You got to show up more places when you do get popular. It's a dangerous lifestyle. You know, you're traveling from here to there on very little money, and, you know, when you add substances and these guys are taking shit, and that's got to be really hard to just overall, like, survive. So as wrestling has moved to that, I think it's forcing a lot of people to step their game up, even on substances. You know, if that's how they're getting through, then they're going to just have to do more of that and get up. It's terrible, man. It's just, it just seems like that's the way it's going, man. And the guys that aren't able to control it, man, they're falling off. And that's terrible. I really wish they could, you know, it's hard for me to say that, though, because, like, same thing happened with Major League Baseball, you know. You don't get as much deaths for some reason, but I guess they got the money to do the shit a little safer, and they have a, you know, a better planned schedule. And they're obviously in baseball not taking the punishment that they do in wrestling. But, I mean, you've seen all the people juice the fuck up in baseball. So
right.
They had to do that to compete with the top guys. Like, are you going to fucking go for the home run record this year? Well, then you better start shooting your shit because, you know, you're not fucking with these other guys that are jacked up like that. You're not. Sammy Sosa, fucking completely different size. You know, through his career, fucking Bonds, different size, Griffey, obviously McGuire. Like, I mean, these guys are monsters compared to what they used to be when they were hitting this shit. So it's just what they had to do to their body to compete. And until it comes out in the open, everybody's like, well, you know, they're really good. Well, they're really good. And they're like, oh, everybody was on steroids. You're like, what? Like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's sad, but it's kind of expected because the higher you push the bar and it's not working on an even keel and everybody's independent and it's not like a cooperative effort to get everybody work. It's you know, the strong survive type shit, you know? So, I mean, maybe they need to, you know, form some kind of wrestlers union and shit. Take care, you know, each other fucking financially, you know, in the business and, you know, set up some kind of medical shit and all of that. I mean, I don't know what the thing that would change it is, but it's definitely dangerous, dangerous fucking place to be.
And that whole, you know, union type thing has a totally different subject for a totally different time because you can go all day and night with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's the thing. I've heard people mention it before. I didn't, like, come up with it or anything. I'm just saying, like, it sounds like maybe, yeah, like, because when the promoters are cutthroat and they're trying to put the most money in their pocket and leave you fucking injuries and everything else and you got to work a week later and they don't care, that's not their company. Like, there's a lot of shit that these guys go through, man. And fuck, you know, by all means, something needs to change, you know, and as a fan, I obviously want to see the same entertainment level, but I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. So.
All right, we got another question in the chat room. We have 7 minutes left in the show, but right. Same guy wants to know, what's your thoughts on WWE telling their workers they have to work 300 days or more a year? TNA lets them rest more so they don't get overworked.
300 days is a lot, man. That's a lot of fucking days, 300 or more. That's what I mean. Like, the schedule, the work schedule these guys got to go through. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, I mean, you got to look at, okay, so you work for WWE, you got to be able to work 300 days. You work for CZW. Okay. You got to work, I don't know.
12 days.
One to two days a month for the year.
Right.
I mean, you're all right, you know what I mean? But that shit is crazy. So, I mean, you're either in a company like CZW or, you know, the hardcore shit, say you're doing that. You're either going to bang yourself out on even having rest, and then the next week you're doing something else somewhere too, but it's all kind of optional, man. It's a different vibe, I think, just from what I've seen on it, you know, from the outside. They go through some shit, man. Either way.
Yeah, I agree. Some crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just insane. And,
Yep.
I think that's crazy. 300 days a year, but you know what I mean? Vince is in there to make a profit. He's not in there to lose money. It's all about making money in the WWE.
Yeah.
Making money or losing money. We gotta make one choice. You want to make money or lose money.
You can expect that. I mean, that's just, you know, everything's a business these days, so. But you got any more questions out there?
That was about it for that. Had some stuff going on earlier, you know, talking about some stuff. But that was just towards me. They were bashing me like crazy. They said I don't want DNA
So how do you feel about Jon Moxley regaining the world heavyweight title?
Do you want to end the show on a terrible note, or do you want to end the show on a good note?
Well, I just kind of want to know what your feelings is on that.
Well, hey, I don't understand it, and I don't understand half the shit that they do, but if it works, then do it. But I don't understand it. I don't understand one bit. Boo-man! That's what I fucking love. I don't understand that shit, but hey, you're keeping the belt engaged for a while. That would have been kind of awesome, but they want to do it that way. Who knows what happened? You know what I mean? Maybe there's some bullshit politics or whatever. Who knows? You know what I mean? I have no idea. I'm just, you know, basing off some shit. That's just me, though. Got 3 minutes in the show. Let's do our final thoughts, final wrap-up, and then we'll play our song like we always do. We'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
Got anything final to say? Any final thoughts?
I thought we did a decent job. I mean, we're left without guests again, but it's kind of short notice off of, you know, who I talked to, and that's fine. So next week we're going to do it bigger, and I hope everybody tunes in. See what we do.
Yeah. And, for you, J. Cat Morris, I am Eric Williams. And we'll check you out next Sunday, same time, same place. You're live on blogtalkradio.com/YKR online. And we'll definitely hit you up next week. So, good night.
Peace.